Amen. Thanks, Brother Jimmy. Appreciate you coming by
and leading our singing today. We've enjoyed it. We thank the Lord for it. And I appreciate you being here today. If you have your Bibles this evening, I'd like you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And this may be a little different preaching than I usually preach. Some people call it the type of preaching I preach is expository preaching. And I really enjoy that type of preaching. Tonight it may be more of a topical type of message. Brother, I remember one of the well-known preachers, he said that you ought to preach expository, and then every once in a while you preach textual or topical, and then repent. And so tonight, there's just something on my heart that I want to bring forth in our church tonight concerning this verse, chapter 1, or chapter 4 of 1 Timothy. And in verse 1, there's a phrase in there in which I want to pull from and then preach out of. Here in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, verse 1, in honor of God's Word, if you would, stand to your feet. And let's read verse 1. And we'll also read verse 2. The Bible says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus tonight, and Lord, we don't know when you're coming. We don't know when the rapture is going to take place, and we don't know, Father, when the last day will be, but we know that the times and the seasons, God has surely revealed that we're in the last days. God, we're in the last times. Father, we know, dear God, because of what's taking place in our churches, what's taking place in our economy, what's taking place in our world, what's taking place, dear God, in our own homes tonight, that the end must be surely near. And Father, as we look upon that end, and as we have the Word of God that will give us instruction and knowledge to know that, Father, help us to understand the Scripture tonight very clearly. And God, that we'd be able to preach concerning the faith that people are departing from. God, I pray that you'd help us tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. The phrase tonight that I'd like to pull from out of this Scripture is, "Some shall depart from the faith." Some shall depart from the faith. Now, what many believe that to be is that some, in these last times, in these last days, are going to take what they believe and just sort of desert it. Take all that they've been taught, all that they have known, all that they have believed through their lifetime, and they will just absolutely withdraw from that and fall or go to another direction and leave the faith behind. And that is so, and that is true, and that is an answer to what is it mean by the departing from the faith, and that is part of it tonight. But how do we know that that is happening in the last days? How do we know that people are departing from what they believe, departing from what they've been taught, departing from what they've always had and they have received? How do we know that's taking place, and where are we going to find that, and what is it all about tonight? And I'm going to try to maybe bring this out, and like I said, it's going to be a little different than usual, but I pray that it would be a real blessing to you. Now, the word "depart" means to remove. So someone who's going to depart tonight from the faith will be one who is removed from the faith. It also means to be revoked, one who revokes from the faith. It means also to detest or to desert the faith. Someone who detests it now, they used to love it, now they detest it. One who now used to cling to it, but now they desert it. Also, the word "depart" means to withdraw or to resist. And so the Bible says that in the last days, the last times, some shall depart from the faith. Some shall be removed, detest of it. Some will withdraw, some will desert, some will revolt, some will resist. Now, what will some people depart from? And there's some things in the Bible that I want to show you tonight that that I believe is to be the truth of identifying the word faith. To put faith into action, to put faith where it's at. Three areas tonight, there's others, but only tonight I'm going to preach on three areas that I want to show you how in the last times, in the latter times, that there will be a departing of the faith. And the first one is tonight, the word of faith. And tonight, the Bible says in verse 6 of chapter 4 of Timothy, it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." What is he talking about, the words of faith? If you turn, keep your finger there, turn to Romans real quickly, and Romans chapter 10, verse 8, and kind of setting this foundation here tonight concerning the word of faith. What is the word of faith tonight? And chapter 10, verse 8 says, But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even thy mouth, and in thine heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. Now, what is he referring to in Romans? What is he referring to in 1 Timothy? In departing from the faith, what are the people going to depart from? They're going to depart from the word of God. Amen. That is the word of faith tonight. People will depart from the word of God. We call it the Holy Bible. Amen. People will depart from that. People will depart from what we call the Holy Scripture. Amen. And so when we find in the last times, in the latter times, we'll find people departing from the faith. It's not just they'll depart from their belief system or depart from the way they used to live or depart from their convictions, but they'll depart from the word of faith, the word of God. You see, faith this evening has a word of faith involved in that. So they'll depart from the Holy Scripture. They'll depart from the holy word of God. And so that's how we put it tonight. Holy Scriptures, Holy Bible, Holy Word of God. Now tonight, can I say this, and I'm going to say it very clearly and very plainly, I believe there's only one Word of God to the English-speaking people, and it's the King James Version Bible. I believe tonight there's no other Bible that's even close to that Bible. There's no other Bible. All other Bibles are different. That means they're not the same. Amen? Now I'm going to tell you something about the Bible tonight. I will say that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, I believe the Bible's inspired. Amen? I believe they're inspiration of the Bible. I believe that it was inspired in Hebrew, in Arabic, Aramaic, and also Greek. Amen? I believe the inspiration was in those languages. I believe tonight that when God breathed on these 40 men, and as these 40 men wrote over a 1,600-year period, that you'll find that the Word of God came in the Hebrew, and it came out into the Greek. Amen? And being in that, it was inspired, empowered by God. But I also believe tonight that in Psalms chapter 12, verse 7 and 8, there is the preservation of the Bible. I believe that God has preserved His Word. I believe God has preserved His Word into the English language. I believe tonight that an English language that's been preserved by God, I believe tonight we have it in the King James Version Bible. I believe not only that, but I believe in Psalms chapter 68, verse 11, the Bible says that the Bible has been published. Amen? And so tonight, we cannot deny that there isn't one, but there is a Word of God. Amen? And there is a Word of God in the English language. And that Word of God has been published, that Word of God has been preserved, and that Word of God has been inspired. Amen? And I believe tonight with all my heart, and I vow believing this tonight, and I got facts on it, I've got study on it, I've been studying for a lot of years, that the King James Version Bible is that book. Amen? It is the Holy Word of God tonight that I am referring to. Now, I will tell you tonight that King James Version Bible has come under great attacks in these days. For 400 years, it has been here. 400 years, has it accomplished its purpose? 400 years, we saw revivals. We saw many churches and people born again. We've seen people call to preach. We've seen people to go forth and to preach like a house on fire, and souls were saved, revivals take place, missions have started. The 400 years, the Word of God, the King James Version Bible, has done the job. Amen? And so tonight, the Word of God, the King James Version Bible tonight, is the Word of faith tonight that I believe that people are departing from. Amen? I believe tonight, if you go to our stores, and you go to our Bible stores, You'll find that the NIV Bible is plastered all over the place. The King James Version Bible is not much anymore. Now, not many people at all are using the King James Version Bible anymore in their houses. They're not using it anymore in their churches. They're not using it anymore to preach from, to study from, to learn from. They're using other versions. They're using other types of perversions. They're getting into other things except just purely the Holy Word of God. Now, why would somebody tonight want to get out of the preserved, inspired, published Word of God, the King James Version Bible, and to go to something else inferior to that? The only reason that I can imagine tonight that anybody would want to sit down and lay down the King James Version Bible that's been doing the job for 400 years is because of what the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And that is because of the doctrines of devils and the seducing spirits that has created a conscience to be seared with a hot iron. Amen. Now you say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Larry. Let me say this tonight. I gave some of you guys a Bible. All right? I want to read a few scriptures tonight, and you make up your own choice, your own mind, of what the Bible is tonight. Now, once again, let me get to set the parameters. All Bibles cannot be the same because they're different. Amen? We have a Bible out here in the public that's published according to the Scripture, Psalm 68:11. We have a Bible that is also preserved. That's Psalms 12:7-8. We have a Bible that's inspired, 2 Timothy 3:16. So somewhere out here in the world tonight, we have something that we call the Word of God. Amen? So we got to find out what that is. In my heart, my mind, it's the King James Version Bible. It has been for years, for 400 years now. I want you to read, Brother Raymond. I don't ever do this, but I'm going to do it for the first time in my entire ministry. But Brother Raymond, I want you to read 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And I know the critics of this verse. It wasn't in the original. It wasn't in the older. It wasn't in the newer. I don't want to hear that nonsense. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. Now read that, and I want you to know that when he's fixing to read out of the Word of God is a great doctrine that you and I believe tonight and we must hold to. Go ahead, Brother Raymond. Read that.
All right. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. Mm-hmm.
Are one. So that verse right there is giving us the Trinity. Right? The Father, the Son, and the Word, and these three are one. So we find the Trinity. Sister Trish, you read out of the NIV. Verse 7. Read it loud if you can. I should have gave you a large print. I know it. That's okay. For the three that testify. All right? Go ahead, sister. You read yours. That's it.
That's
yeah.
It. That's all it is.
Go ahead.
And it is the Holy Spirit who bears witness because the Holy Spirit is the truth.
It's the Holy Spirit that bears witness because the Holy Spirit bears truth. Is the truth. Okay? All right? Who else has the next one? Sister Retta, you read yours. 1 John 5:7.
What is it?
It's the... I'll tell you in just a minute, though. Okay. All right. That's the same verse. Now, Sister Sophia, you read yours.
Okay.
Verse 7.
This is mixed with a 6, 7, and 8.
Yeah, that figures.
I can't tell which one would be 7. This one?
So we have these three witnesses. The voice of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, the voice of from heaven in at Christ's baptism, and the voice before He died.
Wow.
Now, what version do you have? The Living Bible. You know how popular the Living Bible is?
Yes.
What is that?
The what?
Contemporary English Version. What's that? NIV, right?
NIV.
What's yours?
Amplified.
Now, if you take the uneducated people in all the world tonight, and you bring them into church, and you tell them to go find them a Bible, and you come into church and let's preach on the Word of God. All these Bibles, even including the King James Version, can have a choice, right? Because they're all sitting up on the shelves as the Bibles. Right? Now, all those Bibles cannot be the same because they're different. Amen? Is that so? In other words, we have to agree tonight that this is called a Bible. It's called the Living Bible. Every one of them is called a Bible. They all cannot be the Bible. There's only one Bible. And friend, this King James Version Bible sets forth the standard in what it says. All other Bibles or so-called Bibles behind that don't even come close to what that Scripture is saying. Let's go to another one because two or three establishes the matter. I don't want to create no doubt in somebody's mind. Go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. Brother Wade, you read that. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. Read it out of the King James Version Bible. I know I'm taking a little time tonight. Please bear with me. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. And those who have the other books. Okay.
Go ahead and read that. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost.
All right. Now that's probably an important verse, wouldn't you think? The Son of Man came to save that which is lost. I mean, that's the whole gospel. That's the whole bottom line. Amen? All right. Sister Trish, you read yours.
Verse 11.
Verse 11. It's omitted.
Yes.
Oh, it's not there. So in the NIV tonight, it's not there. All right? Sister Sophia, what does yours say, verse 11?
It says, "And I, the Messiah, came to save the lost."
All right. "I, Messiah, came to save the lost." That's not close to what the King James Version Bible. How about you, Sister Edda?
Okay, 10 and 11 here, they run in together. It says, "Don't be cruel to any of these little ones. I promise you that their angels are always looking with my Father in heaven."
Okay, so they just skipped that whole thought. Right. Amen? And so here tonight, we have another scripture, Matthew chapter 18, verse 11. And in the King James Version Bible, it says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Not one other of these other books ever said anything close to that. Amen? Something is wrong. Something is not the same. Let's go one more because two or three things establish the matter. We'll turn to Acts chapter 8, verse 37. Brother Keith, you read that.
Here, we get you on tape.
Acts chapter 8, verse 37, in the King James Version Bible.
It says, "And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
Now, what this whole story is about a man getting saved. And they ask him, what doth hinder me to get baptized? He said, in verse 37, to believe. I mean, you can't get no more foundational than this verse right here. All right? So, Sister Trish, what do you say?
What verse is it?
Verse 37.
Sorry, there's none.
There's none. There's none in the NIV. It's just omitted once again. All right, Sister, you have to give us to this.
"And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, that is, if you have a conviction full of joyful trust that Jesus is the Messiah and accept Him as the author of your salvation in the kingdom of God, giving Him your obedience, then you may. And he replied, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
That's probably closer than any of them, all right? That's not saying exactly the same, but there is something.
Once again, it runs together. Mm-hmm. "As they were going along the road, they came to a place where there was some water. The official said, look, here is some water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the chariot to stop. When they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized them."
That whole verse is completely just omitted out, says Sophia.
"You can," Philip answered, "if you believe with all your heart." And the eunuch replied, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
Okay. So tonight, with your hearing of the Word of God versus hearing of the others that consider themselves to be the Word of God, I hope there's no doubt in your heart that tonight there is a difference between the Bibles. Now, let me say this tonight. The reason why I'm even speaking of this is because of the faith that shall be departed. And I believe the word of faith tonight, I believe the King James Version Bible is the very word of faith that today people are departing from. I believe they are running from it. Our grandparents had it. Our great-grandparents believed in it. entrusted in it, and now in this new generation, now in this new realm of preachers, and this new believism, this new easy believism, this way of telling the Word of God that we need to have it easier because we can't understand it. We need to have something that we can, the they's and the thou's need to be removed, and it's archaic and it's hard to understand. And all these excuses and all these things have brought forth the devil's seducing spirits, and the doctrines of devils tonight has convinced and even seared the conscience of men tonight to think that they need another Word of God, and there's not another Word of God. And so tonight we are living in an age when the King James Version Bible is being dismissed and dissed. I believe it's the word of faith tonight, in the last days it shall come. I believe if all the ones had, you know what tonight? The preachers, the big time preachers of all over the TV and all over the radio preach out of the NIV Bible. You'll find very few, even on the radio tonight, will preach, or this morning, this evening, that will preach from the King James Version Bible. Do you know, I would say to you, majority of congregations all over the world carry the NIV Bible. It's the most popular Bible in all the world tonight. And yet, it's different. It's not the same. And friend, and the devil has done got us deceived and done got us in the doctrines of the devils and searing our conscience. And that he knows, the devil knows, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. And friend, if he can get the Word of God out of the hands of people, if he can get the Word of God out of the pulpit, if he can get the Word of God removed from the place of the house of God, souls won't be saved, lives won't be changed, and friend, then we'll all die and go to hell. That's exactly what he wants tonight. The Word of faith is being departed from in the days in which we live. Amen? Now, I'm telling you the truth tonight, and really, I'm telling you more than the truth tonight. I'm telling you in the last days that people will depart from the Word of faith, and that Word of faith is the King James Version Bible. Amen? And so that's what I believe. There's the foundation of it, and the reason why tonight that I believe the Word of God is the King James Version Bible, because the Bible says of itself in Malachi chapter 3, it says, I am the Lord, I change not. Amen? And so the Word of God, the King James Version Bible, has not changed. It is not going to change. It's always going to be the same. It's going to be what it always has been. It's always what it's going to say. It's never going to cease to be. It is what it is tonight. Amen? And so Revelation 22 tells us if we add or take away, then we find judgment of God in that. And then Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6 tells us the same thing about adjusting or dealing or hampering with the Word of God. You'll find God's judgment in your life on those situations. So tonight, we see that people are departing from the faith. They are departing to something that is less powerless. They're departing to something that is fake and phony. That they're departing to something that is contemporary, something that it can be read by one who don't even know God, don't even love the Lord, not even say they're born again. We all know that the Word of God has been inspired by God. It's a spiritual book. You'll not understand. A natural man understands not the things of God. And friend, you'll not understand God's Word because it's not written to sinners. It's written to those that know the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the Spirit of God can take the Word of God and convert a soul. Amen? And friend, so all the world that don't want to trust in the Lord and don't want to repent and receive Christ as their Lord and Savior wants to get a Bible. When they get the King James Version Bible, they can't understand it. They get frustrated with it. They try to find something less than what it is. And so they find something more contemporary so that they can understand and the wording and the phrases and all that comes along that. And they're departing from the Word of faith. Amen. Number two. Not only tonight is the Word of faith being departed, but the Spirit of faith. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tonight, in verse 13. Once again, the Bible refers to not only the Word of faith being the Bible, but it refers to the Spirit tonight of faith being the Holy Spirit. He says in chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, verse 13, we have in the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Tonight, I believe with all my heart, when the Bible talks about departing from the faith, I believe it's talking about not only what we spoke of, but also in addition to that, I believe people are departing from the Spirit of faith. I believe tonight in which we live, people are departing from the Holy Spirit. They're departing from God's Spirit. They're departing from Christ's Spirit. Tonight, really, the world in which we live tonight is a people that are not really interested in coming under the influence and the power of the Spirit of God. Friend, they're not ones tonight that come to the house of God looking for the feeding of God's Word, the filling of His Spirit. The Word of God says concerning the Spirit of God tonight, it says it is the one that His work is going to be the convicting of sin. That people do not want to be convicted of sin. People do not want to be told how wrong they are. People do not want to be told how awful and ugly that they are going. They don't want to be told they're going to die and go to hell. They don't want to be told, friend, that they're a sorry husband, they're a sorry wife, that they're a pathetic individual, that they've got sin in their life. And friend, they don't want to be told anything about sin. So whenever somebody comes to a church house that's preaching out the Word of God, and the Word of God is being preached, the Spirit of God is convicting them of sin, they're going to move on down the road because, see, they're departing from the Word, from the Spirit of faith, because they don't like conviction. So they move on down the road where the Spirit of God's not. So in the last days, people are going to depart from the faith, not only the Word of faith, but the Spirit of faith. You see, the Spirit of God's work is to convict of sin, but also to convict of righteousness. In other words, friend, the Spirit of God is going to be one who's going to constantly convict, constantly persuade you to live a righteous life, to live a holy life, to live a life that is pure before God. And it's going to be a constant work of the Holy Spirit on the lives of individuals. And tonight, people are departing from the Spirit of faith because they don't want to be told they must live in the right life. Then there's a spirit of judgment or the conviction of judgment. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. Judgment's coming. You've got to give an account unto God one day. You've got to face the Lord one day. Prepare to meet your God. Every man must give an account of himself before God. It is appointed unto man once to die, then after this the judgment. People don't want to hear that anymore. You know why they don't want to hear that no more? Because they don't want the Spirit of God in their presence. They don't want where the Spirit of God is at and where it's working. Because the Spirit of God will bring conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And friend, they're departing from the faith. The Spirit of faith. And they're going to those churches and going to those synagogues and going to those mosques and going to those temples and going to those cathedrals that the Spirit of God's not there. That's how they get comfortable. And that's how they get pleased. And that's how they get at ease. I'm telling you, in the last times, in the latter times, you'll find people departing from the Spirit of faith. Because the work of is that the Holy Spirit of God always exalts Jesus. The Spirit of God always lifts up Jesus. The Spirit of God always lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ, always magnifies Him, always exalts Him. And friend, you'll find that where the Spirit is, you'll find that the very singing that is being sung will always exalt Jesus Christ. You know, today, in the singing of most churches and cathedrals and mosques and all the other tonight, you'll find that there is not a lifting up in Jesus in their song. It's not the lifting up of Jesus in their testimony. It's not the lifting up of Jesus in the Word. It's not the lifting up of Jesus in their preaching and their teaching anymore. You know why? Because the Spirit's not there. If the Spirit was there, you'll find the Spirit will always exalt, magnify, lift up, praise, honor, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the churches today that we want to be in with the Spirit of God. Oh, tonight, in the last days, we'll find people departing from the Spirit of faith. And the reason why is because of the work of the Spirit they want no part of. Also, the Spirit teaches truth. Really, people don't really want truth tonight. They want to be told what they want to hear. Friend, people ain't going to come to churches such as ours that is going to give them the truth. Because the truth hurts, you see. Many people have a mindset of coming to church and feeling good. A mindset of coming to church and feeling better. A mindset of coming to church and walking out and just having to go just in order to please somebody else or just please your conscience. Amen. But when the Holy Ghost of God is where you're at, you'll find that you'll find the Holy Spirit of God will teach you truth. Amen. That's right. Amen. People don't want to hear that. People don't want to be taught that. People don't want to be told any of that. So they're looking and they're departing from the Spirit. Does this make sense tonight? Departing from the Spirit of faith. Faith tonight. I want to show you about the fifth thing that what He does, the Spirit of God. He guides into truth. In other words, where the Spirit of God is, you'll find that there will be a guiding in the truth. At all times, He'll present truth. He'll guide you in the truth. He'll teach you in the truth. He'll bring up truth. truth will always be what the Holy Spirit of God is. All the time, every time. And you know what? People today do not want to face truth. They don't want to deal with truth. They don't want to be responsible to truth. They don't want to be accountable to truth. And so you know what they do? They depart from the spirit of faith. And they find places and they go to different locations. And they find people that don't have anything to do with the spirit of faith. Also, this spirit controls lives. That's what the spirit does. It influences us. It controls us. It guides us. It also claims ownership. You'll find that in Romans chapter 8, the Bible says that if the Spirit of God dwells in you, that He bears witness that you're His child. If the Spirit of God does not dwell in you today, then you're not His. See, people don't like being told that. People don't like being told that they prayed a prayer and they've been baptized and they went to church and they're a Baptist or they're a Pentecostal or they're a Assembly of God or they've done this and they've done that. They preach, they teach, they sing, they play the piano. They got all these things that they do, but the Spirit of God does not bear witness in their heart that they're a child of God tonight. They don't like that when the Spirit of God says, "You're not none of mine." You know what they're going to do? They're going to depart from the spirit of faith. Well, tonight when it says that there'll be some that depart from the faith, man, it's talking about the word of faith. Talk about the spirit of faith. And thirdly here tonight, I want to talk about the household of faith. Tonight there's called in Galatians chapter 6, turn there. Galatians chapter 6. And the Word of God, the house of God, the church tonight is referred to as the household of faith. The Bible says there in verse 10 of chapter 6 of Galatians, it says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Who's referring to? Referring to the church. Amen? So we see when people depart, they're departing from the household of faith. They're departing from the church. Amen? The true church. Now turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11. In verse 15, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy chapter 3. So tonight, another area of this faith is the household of faith. The church. I believe tonight in the last times or the latter times, you'll find people that will be departing from the church. Departing from the church. Here in 1 Timothy in chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible reads, But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I want to say a few things about the house of God tonight, being the household of faith. That when in the latter times, when the latter days, in the last days, you'll find many, many people departing from the faith. But they'll be departing from the household of faith. That is the church. Amen. That is the house of God. And the reason why people will depart from the house of God, which is the household of faith tonight, is several reasons. Number one, it's because of the behavior that is required in the house of God. The Bible talks about here in verse 15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God." Tonight, we have, Brother Raymond has mentioned a little bit about this a while ago, we have come to the place in churches that they become recreational rooms. We have come to the place in churches tonight where there's no more honor, it's not done decently anymore, it's not in order anymore. It's not done with any reverence anymore. Your church services are out of control. Friend, you'll find that people and their behavior of church, let me tell you what churches, friend, ought to be and should be, according to the Bible, is that you know how to behave in the house of God. You ought to behave here different than anywhere else in all the world. That this place right here called the house of God is a place of reverence and a place of worship. It's a place of honor. It's a place that we are to come in here in decency. You are not to be wearing clothes that reveal any parts of your body. You are not to be coming in here wearing things that you'd wear down at the football game or at the baseball game. You are to come in wearing clothes of honor, clothes of dignity, clothes that worship, clothes that give all praise and honor unto God, that don't reveal you, don't reveal all that you are, don't reveal with all of the little glitter that you've got, but you come in to worship in the house of God. You don't know how to behave in the house of God. You don't argue in the house of God. You don't fight in the house of God. You don't come in and crawl under the pews in the house of God. You don't bring in bottles of water. You don't bring in Cokes. You don't bring in candy. You don't bring in wrappers. You don't bring chips. You don't come in here and eat. You come in here and feed. You come here to worship. Amen? This is God's house. This is God's pew. This is God's carpet. This is God's house. This is God's walls. This is all about the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And you and I must come to a place of behavior that we can't come in wearing anything we want to wear. We can't come in doing anything we want to do. We got to come in here with great respect, great honor, great worship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many people tonight will not hear to that, so they run out and go to a church where you can do what you want when you want to. What they're doing is they're departing from the household of faith. Because there is a behavior that is to behold in the house of God. Amen? You don't have your kids come run up here on the pulpit. You don't have your kids come playing down or jumping off the altar. You don't have your kids in here reading and playing on their toils and running cars up and down the pews. You don't have your kids coming here bringing coloring books and let them color. You come to the house of God to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? There is a way to behave in God's house. There's a way you and I must behave, and it's how we look, and it's what we do in the house of God. You know what? People's left this church just over that reason. Because we got behavior that we want to abstain. Now, when I was here for the first 10 years, it was even greater. And I know, and boy, I've said this to some people here, but when I came back after 1 year or year and 3 months, I know y'all were meeting in the fellowship hall. And I know that in a fellowship hall, it's not nearly what this is right here. And I know that people got up and people came in and people went to the refrigerator, people went to the sink and people did this and people did that. But you know what? Now we're in this building here. Now we're in the church here. Friend, we need to respect God's Word. I'll tell you something else tonight, too. And I'm just going to say it tonight. Whenever somebody prays tonight, prayer is a way of worship. Amen? Now, tonight, if you're going to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and you're praying, that is not the time you get up and go to the restroom. When somebody's up here praying, you be quiet and you stop where you're going and what you're doing and bow your head. This man is in worship. This man is in worshiping the Lord by the way of prayer. And if you're going to be part of that worship, then you need to respect. Amen? I've seen many times in many churches tonight who when the preacher prays, they go to the restroom. Oh, when people pray, it's a time to get out their checkbook or get out something out of some mints or something out of their purse. Tonight, I'm just saying, whenever we take up the offering, it's a time of worship. There's a time of behavior there. When we pray, when we preach, when we teach, we don't go to sleep in here. We don't read, we don't text in here. Tonight, and listen, if I see you texting, if I see you playing on your phone, I'm going to address it. This is not the place of texting. This is not the place of calling someone. This ain't the time to get on your Facebook. This ain't the time to get in somebody's space and to get in somebody's face and to get in somebody's case. And this is the time to worship in the house of God. There's a way to behave. But I'll tell you tonight, many, many churches and many, many places, the people is texting. The people are calling. The people have their bottles of water, their bottles of Coke. Their candies, their wrappers, their children is playing on the back pew. They're coloring it up. Friend, and the Word of God is being preached and nobody's listening. You tell me that's honor. You tell me that's respect. And you tell me that's decency and order tonight. It's not. You know what's wrong with people today? When they hear what I just got through saying, they're going to run on down the road to some place where it's a lot, not that many rules. It's not that many heartaches, you know. Listen, I don't think there's nothing wrong with bringing a bottle of water into service. Well, you might not think that, but I do. Amen? You say, well, I don't see what's wrong with you know, in the back row back there. I'm not bothering nobody texting somebody. Well, I tell you what, it bothers me. And I know it bothers God. You don't come here to do that. So there's a behavior here. All I'm saying tonight is this, is when the Bible says they're departing from the faith, they're departing not only from the Word of faith, the spirit of faith, but the household of faith. And anytime you set some parameters, anytime you set some standards of behavior, you're going to find scattering. Number two, Not only is there a behavior, but there is a belonging. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. I want you to notice the belonging is the church of the living God. It is His church. Tonight, this is not your church. It's His church. Tonight, it is He, it's His shepherd. I know that you refer to me as your pastor, but I am His under-shepherd. Amen? I am under His protection and under His guidance and under His direction. David said, I'll not touch the God's anointed because of the fear of what God would do touching God's anointed. You better be careful, friend, when you talk about the preacher. You better be careful tonight whenever you go about and make accusations to the preacher. The Bible says there in Timothy that you shall not make any accusations towards any bishop without two or three witnesses. Oh, tonight, all I'm saying is it's His church. It's His shepherd. It's His sheep. Amen? It's His gospel. It's His work. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head of it, and it's the church of the living God. And there's not many churches of the living God. There's only one church of the living God. And friend, when you come to places where the deacons own the church, where the trustees own the church, when the people own the church, it's not His church. Friend, people will depart from the household of faith whenever they come into a place where they can't run, and they can't tell, and they can't guide, and they can't rule. And we're finding it all the time in all places tonight. This is God's church. Amen? And any church that belongs to Him is a church you and I are going to have to understand it all is His. Tonight, people are departing from the household of faith because they think it's their church. And if they can't have it their way, they move on down the road. Well, tonight, this is not ours. It's all His. Number three, not only is there a behavior and a belonging, but there is a base. There is a base tonight. And this base is that this church is the pillar and ground of truth. The pillar and ground of the truth tonight. And boy, the base of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not saying every church that has the name church on it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying every church with Baptist on it is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying tonight anything that has anything concerning Jesus on it is that church. But I am saying tonight that the church of the living God is the ground and the pillar of truth. In other words, that truth, that church will preach truth. And if that church is not preaching truth, it is not the church of the living God. And so the church tonight that preaches truth is a church that's this ground and pillar is of the truth. But not only do they preach truth, but they practice truth. Amen? You find a church that's preaching the truth but not living the truth, you'll find a fake and phony church. Because the Bible says that this church, or the church of the living God, is a church that will preach the truth because it's its ground. It's a pillar. It will stand for truth. It will protect truth. It will find that truth will be all it ever wants and all it ever does. That it will defend truth. That it will stand up against truth, like anything that's not truth. You'll find that the church tonight is that ground and pillar where truth stands. That's the church. I will tell you tonight, people will depart from the household of faith because truth. Those people there, man, listen, they preach right to you. Man, those people over there, you know, like this old church down here, that Glory Baptist Church, man, you can't even go to that church and drink socially. I mean, listen, you can't even go to that church there. Don't you talk about anything about gambling now. The pick five, the pick three, the big Texas, the lottery. It ain't going to work there, man. That church over there, that's such a boring church, you can't even dance. Man, what's wrong with a little bit of dance here and there? That church over there, man, listen, you smoke? Man, they don't believe in that either. They don't even believe in dipping around there. Man, what's wrong with that church, man? Don't they know that we're in times now where you can do all those things and still come home to church? But I'm telling you tonight, people will depart from the household of faith whenever there's a base that's set And that is the preaching of the truth, the practicing of the truth, and the protecting of the truth. And they will scoot on down the road. Amen. Are you following me tonight? Oh, tonight I say to you, and I know time's gotten away and I'm hurrying as fast as I can. But then I want to show you here fourthly tonight that these people depart from the household of faith because there is a belief. There is a belief in this church. The belief is all summed up there in verse 16, but let me just divide it out for you. There's the doctrine of the Bible. You see, a real, true, living church, a church that's a household of faith, is a church that has a belief. And this belief is of the doctrine of the Bible. We believe the Bible is without error. We believe the Bible tonight is perfect and pure. We believe the Bible is settled in heaven. We believe the Bible will not change. We believe the Bible, the Word of God, is what we one day will stand up in judgment against. We'll have to answer to the Word of God. Tonight we believe it's inspired, preserved, and published. We talked about that earlier. So we believe the doctrine of the Bible. We believe in the doctrine of God. The doctrine of God is that God is a Father. That God is an eternal God. That God is an only God. That God is alone and there's none else beside Him. That God is a living God, never to die. We believe that God is the creator of the world. We believe that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. We believe in the doctrine of God. And then we believe in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ is that Jesus is the Lamb of God. That Jesus is the mediator between man and God. That Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. We believe that Jesus is the Savior and the Redeemer of mankind. We believe that Jesus is the Bishop of our souls. We believe that Jesus is the Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. Jesus is I Am. Jesus is Advocate. Jesus is the One who's the Captain of our salvation. Jesus is the Author and Finisher of our faith. Jesus is born of a virgin. Jesus lived a sinless life. Jesus is alive. Jesus resurrected. Jesus ascended. Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father. And Jesus is coming back. And I say to you, that's what we believe about the doctrine of Jesus tonight. And I say the fourth thing is the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. We believe the Holy Ghost is God. We believe He's the third person of the Trinity. Amen? We believe He's a He and not an It. We believe that He has power. We believe that He convicts of sin. We believe that He guides and we believe that He controls and influences. We believe that He's the One who spoke to the men as they wrote the Word of God and the Spirit of God. We believe of the doctrine. We believe of its fruit. We believe of its gifts. And we believe that the Holy Ghost of God is alive and dwells in men today in their hearts. We believe in the doctrine of men, men that are depraved, men are the wicked, men are sinful, men have a fallen nature, men are going to go to hell without God if they don't turn from their sin and turn to Christ. We believe that man today, there's no good in him at all. There's none seeketh after God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. We believe that men have no ability nor capability to reach God. They don't even desire for God. Man is totally, totally depraved tonight. We believe also in the doctrine of salvation. We believe that salvation is by grace through faith. We believe that salvation must include repentance. Amen? We also believe tonight that once you get saved and born again, you'll have the assurance of your salvation. We believe that that salvation tonight is only in Jesus, as He's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come unto the Father but by Him. We believe there's salvation by no other, by none other man given. Neither is there salvation any other man given among men whereby we must be saved. We believe tonight that the salvation is only comes through the blood of the Lamb tonight. We believe tonight that you cannot get saved by your own deeds and your own works, and you can't get saved by prayer, and you can't get saved by baptism. You can't get saved by membership. You can only get saved in the dear darling Son of God. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life tonight. That's the Word of God, and that's the doctrine of salvation. We believe in the doctrine of the church. We believe that the church is led and guided by His head, which is Jesus. We believe the pastor is set forth by the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ as He plants the pastor in the church. The pastor being one who is a under shepherd, one who has been qualified by the head tonight. You don't hire a pastor. You don't fire a pastor. It's God that places them in the pulpit. It's God that moves them out of the pulpit. It's then with people, the requirements to be a church tonight. It's not that you like the preacher, that you like the people. It's not like you want to become part of one. The requirements of becoming part of the church is to be saved and born again. Amen? To be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Then and be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then you can come and be a member of a church. Amen? We also believe in the doctrine of angels. We believe there are fallen angels called demons. We believe there's guardian angels. We believe there's angels that are about and working on the behalf of God's children and God's people tonight. We believe in the doctrine of the last things. We believe the rapture will take place. We believe the judgment seat of Christ, where all sinners without Christ will face judgment one day. We believe in the tribulation period for 7 years. The first 3.5 years will be a tribulation. Then there will be a great tribulation in the last 3.5 years. We believe tonight in the millennial reign, 1,000-year reign at the end. We also believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when He'll come on His white horse, and we that are saved will go with Him, and He'll, with the sword of His mouth, just wipe them out. We believe tonight in the battle Armageddon. We believe in the great white throne. We believe tonight in the reality of hell. We believe in the reality of heaven tonight. And can I say to you, that's what churches believe. But yet, I'm going to tell you right now that people in the latter times will depart from the faith, the household of faith, because of what we believe. If you don't believe what we believe tonight, it's time to move forth and move on. There's no place here for you. Either you believe what the Word of God says, and you believe what the Word of God teaches, and you believe what the Word of what the man of God preaches and teaches, and if I'm wrong, then you are to leave. Amen? Got to deal with me. Friend, tonight I'm not wrong, because the Word of God's right. And I say to you tonight, the reason why these things are happening is because of the seducing spirits that are about our times. They are spirits of deceit. They've got people thinking that there is another Word of God out there that they can hold on to. There's another spirit out there that they can find. And there's also another church that will suit their needs. The deceiving spirits tonight are just running rampant. Secondly, I notice there's the doctrines of devils. That's the teachings of Satan. You'll find that the teachings of Satan is creeping into the churches today. The teachings of Satan are creeping into our homes today. The teachings of Satan are creeping into our schoolhouses today and our colleges today. You'll find that there was a time that in the past in America that our parents taught the children about the things of God. Now we come to the place here. Now they're not teaching anything about the children of God, not teaching anything about the Word of God. They're about their time. They're busy. They're moving. They're stirring around. They're letting their children fend for themselves on spiritual things. Not only that, but in our schools today, if you look at the curriculum that's been given, is that they're taking Islam all through the teaching in our schools, in our elementary and even in junior high and into our high school, is that they're exalting the Islam religion. They're exalting the Muslim faith and demeaning the Christianity. So you'll see tonight under this doctrine of devils how it's creating people to want to get away from the King James Version Bible and go to something easier to read and easier to handle, and then they were getting away from the Spirit of God and going to the spirit of jealousy or the spirit of man or the spirit of the devil, where they can have their fancy filled, where they can have their self exalted, where they can feel good and they can feel fine, and they don't have to have any kind of pain or suffering, and they can walk in and walk out and do their duty and do through their ritual. And said that they don't want the Spirit of God, so they have the doctrines of devils that are teaching them you don't need that. And then there's the household of faith where the doctrines of devils teaching that, listen, you can come to church however you want to. And when you get there, you can do whatever you want to. They're teaching that you can believe what you want to believe. You don't have to believe everything the preacher believes. You ain't got to believe everything about the church believes. You're your own. You believe whatever you want to believe. And then there's a base. You know, it's my church. It's decisions that I make. If I want a blue wall over there and I don't get it, well, I'm just going to move. That's the teachings of the devil. If I don't want these 5 pews right here, I want 6 pews right here. And if you don't get my way, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pack up my toys and go home. teaching of the devil. Constant teaching. You can get it on the internet. You can get it in books. You can get it in pulpits. You can get it in other religions. You can get it in cults. You can get it almost anywhere you want to go tonight. The doctrines of devils tonight. Lastly, speaking lies, pretenders, false teachers and false prophets and false preachers. They're searing with a hot iron. That word sear means cauterize. It means to render unsensitive. And so what's happening today is our conscience has now been rendered unsensitive. Not much feelings anymore. Not much any of reality anymore. As I live in a dream world, and I live in some kind of reality show. And I think that's why a lot of people like those reality shows, because it's a make-believe life. And they come in this life in which we really live, and friend, they find themselves reading the Bible, the King James Version Bible they heard when they were young kids. They knew their parents and their grandparents heard it and read it. They know that the King James Version Bible has been here a long time. But friend, because of they're not sensitive anymore, they just move on off of that and find something. And because of the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, they're not sensitive to it anymore. It used to convict them, but they've no longer been around it for so long, they're no longer convicted anymore. God's given them over to a reprobate mind, just maybe. So they're going to move on to the house of faith. They're not going to come to a church that tells us how to do anything. Tell us how to behave. We're adults. Don't tell me what to do. You might believe that, but that don't mean I have to believe that. I can believe that and believe something different and still be a member of this church. Oh, no, you can't. All I'm saying tonight is this. Some shall depart from the faith. The word of the faith, the spirit of faith, and the household of faith. I'm here for the long haul. You're not moving me out. I'll be here. That's what we believe tonight. That's what we preach. That's what we desperately need in our country called America. Amen. Stand our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I know I took a lot of time tonight. What page, Brother Jimmy, are you going to sing? Well, I tell you what a good song. If you want to tonight...